Our sermon text today comes from John chapter 3, 1 through 21, the Gospel of John chapter 3. And that's found on page 887 of your pew Bible. John 3, verse 1 through 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, which shines light on the darkness of our hearts. And I pray that your word would do that right now. I pray for your Spirit and the power of the working of your Spirit in your people as they hear the preaching of your word. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So John chapter 3 is one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. Maybe you've grown up in church, and you've memorized John 3:16. And even if you were more advanced, you memorized John 3:17. And maybe you've heard being born again. You've heard that phrase even outside the Bible. If you're alive, which I was not, during the campaign of Jimmy Carter, he professed himself to be a born-again Christian. And I've heard that's how he won the election. I wasn't there. But born again. You've heard this phrase maybe from Billy Graham. But Billy Graham did not coin this phrase. No, this phrase was said by the Lord Jesus Christ and recorded here in John chapter 3. So what I want to focus on is not John 3:16, but the entire passage, which is John 3, 1 through 21. And the main aspect of this text that I want to focus on is that we must be born again. You must be born again, and I must be born again. Because we are dead in our sins, we must be born again. So there's 3 points here. The first is that there's only one entrance. And the second is that we need to look to Jesus. And then lastly, we need to believe in him. So John chapter 3, it starts out with Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. This phrase says so much about where Nicodemus is coming from, at night. Maybe that phrase means he's coming to him in secret, away from the crowds and probably away from the disciples. He doesn't want to be seen. He's afraid to be seen with Jesus because he's one of the Pharisees. He doesn't want any of the Pharisees to know, and possibly he's embarrassed to be with Jesus. But he comes to Jesus sincerely. He wants to know, what is your ministry all about? But he also comes timidly. And many times, that's how we come to Jesus at first. When we're not sure who he is, we come sincerely but timidly. We think like Nicodemus here. Jesus, you're a teacher. You're a man from God. You're a miracle worker, a good man. Nicodemus was a religious man. He's the most religious man of all of Israel at the time. He was one of the Pharisees. He kept the law. He ate the right things. He kept away from things he shouldn't eat. He read his Bible every day. He went to synagogue every Sabbath. We are like Nicodemus in a way, and we try to do all the right things. We are like Nicodemus sometimes and want to come to Jesus on our own terms in the way we think is right in our own minds. Isn't that the way we meet with Jesus if we don't know exactly who he is? But we know he's a good man. Maybe he's a savior. Maybe he's the son of God. And like Nicodemus, sometimes we want to meet with Jesus away from the crowds and away from the disciples, away from those Christians. But we say sometimes, I want to meet with Jesus on my own time. I'll meet with him on my own time. I'll meet with him next week. Just me and Jesus in secret. Nobody has to know. Well, that is in some way what Nicodemus is doing. He wants approval for his religious ways, his own personal way to God. And so he mentions to Jesus about what he admires about the things that Jesus does. He butters him up, if you will, calling him Rabbi. Verse 2, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. You see, Nicodemus had a religion or a thought process of getting things done by doing things, getting to God by doing things. He probably thinks he's doing something right here, just meeting with Jesus by himself. But Nicodemus has a problem. And his problem is a religion of works. He thought that was the way to get to God. Our problem is a religion of works. We think by doing things, by performing for God, by buttering him up, that we can earn his favor. We should not forget the words of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, when at the end of time people will come to Jesus and say, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons and do many mighty works in your name? And then what will Jesus say? Depart from me, I never knew you. You workers of lawlessness. Jesus says nothing about the compliments that Nicodemus gives him, starting here in verse 3. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He changes the subject on Nicodemus. He stops Nicodemus in his tracks. He changes the subject entirely. Basically, he says to Nicodemus and to any of us who think of doing things for God before we even know who God is, stop right there. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're blind. You can't see. You must be born again. I'll say that again. You must be born again. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus is like an eye doctor here. He's telling Nicodemus, "You can't see, you're blind, you need glasses, you need spiritual eyes to see the kingdom of God. He needs to be born again." Well, what does it mean to be born again? How do I get born again? Some people might actually, or might automatically say it means we get to go to heaven. But while that is true, it's not exactly what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, you must be born from above. You don't go to heaven. Heaven comes to you. That's what it means to be born again. What does it mean to be born again? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Another translation of that verse could go like this. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. You are regenerated, which is another word for born again, regenerated. You're made a new person in Christ. No longer living for yourself, but you're living for God. This is the infancy of the Christian life. The new birth is an entrance into the kingdom of God. So the first point here, there's only one entrance. There's only one entrance into this kingdom. Nicodemus responds with hyperbole here. Verse 4. Nicodemus responds with hyperbole, possibly sneering here, still thinking he has it all together. But in reality, he is covering up for his own total lack of understanding of spiritual things. He has no understanding of spiritual things, of Christ, of heaven, of God, of salvation. He has the understanding of man, of getting things done, of checking off items on the checklist. That is what he understands. That is what he thinks works. Much like us, we have our checklists. We read our Bibles. Maybe we go the extra mile, volunteer at a homeless shelter, or go on a mission trip. But those things don't give life. They don't give eternal life. But still, we say, "I do all these things." We're like Nicodemus, who thinks he's got it all figured out. And so he answers, verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus, this is a ridiculous statement. I think meant to be ridiculous. Maybe even meant to make Jesus look bad. Though possibly not. Matthew Henry, the 18th century commentator, points out the problem with Nicodemus' statement here when he says, "If his mother gave birth to him 100 times, that would not put matters right, because still, that which is born of the flesh is flesh." Jesus, he doesn't put him down, though. He lovingly answers him without ridiculing him. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Water and Spirit. Basically, those words are used interchangeably here, talking about likely the passage that Rick read earlier about in Ezekiel, about the Lord cleansing us with clean water, giving us a new heart, and putting his Spirit within us, Ezekiel 36. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus uses the same word as Nicodemus here, enter. Nicodemus says, can anyone enter his mother's womb a second time? Jesus says, you have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Basically, Jesus has cornered Nicodemus and said, listen, we're talking about two different things here. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Two different kinds of birth. When you are born, there's nothing you can do to make that happen. You can't decide to be born, or let's say you can't decide to be conceived. You don't exist before that happens. There's nothing. There's no body, there's no soul, there's no life. And if it had not been for your parents, and more than that, God, you would not be born the first time. This is what Jesus is talking about to Nicodemus. The new birth is so close of a metaphor to the natural birth. You contribute nothing to your natural birth, and you contribute nothing to your new birth. This is the only way into the kingdom of God. The only way is you must be born again. There is nothing you can do to be born again. Just like there was nothing you could do to be born the first time. There was nothing you contributed to your physical birth. And there is nothing you contribute to the new birth. And so Jesus goes on in verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. At this point, you can imagine Nicodemus' wheels turning in his head, and maybe his mouth gaping open over his lack of understanding and the truth of what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, just like you can't control the wind, you can't control the Spirit. Only God can create new birth. Nicodemus said to him, verse 9, how can these things be? Now Nicodemus, at least he's come to the point where he understands we're on two different pages here. But he's still not quite sure what Jesus means. He may be asking, as you may be asking, you mean there's nothing I can do to be born again? He doesn't realize that he is like the dry bones. In Ezekiel 37 that Rick read earlier, the dry bones, they're not only bones which represent death, they're dry. They need moisture. They need water and the Spirit. Ezekiel 37:5, thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. This is not a natural thing. This is an act of God. This is a supernatural act. And this is how you enter the kingdom of God. Verse 10 through 13, Jesus presents to Nicodemus his true identity. Previously, you remember Nicodemus said to him, Rabbi, you're a teacher, which is true. But Jesus is saying, actually, you're talking to the Son of God, the only Son of God, the incarnate Word of God. The Word was God, John chapter 1. Nicodemus, you're talking to God. This is the one with all the answers and the only one with any answers. Jesus is saying, because I am from heaven, no one else has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. You see, Jesus is himself the only entrance into the kingdom of God. But that entrance, your new birth, cost Jesus everything. It costs him his life. It leads to death and destruction and hell on the cross for Jesus so that you can enter the kingdom of God, so that you can avoid death, destruction, and hell. so that you can be born again and you can have new life. There's only one entrance, and it's through the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, Jesus. Jesus goes on to use an episode from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So Numbers chapter 21, the Lord sent fiery serpents that began to bite the Israelites and kill them. And the only cure was that God told Moses to set up a bronze serpent that the people would look at and be healed and saved. Well, this is a strange story to bring up here. Jesus is saying, just like the Israelites looked at the bronze serpent, Jesus is saying, look at me. Especially look at me on the cross. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, look at me, believe in me when I am lifted up on the cross. This is where you will find life, at the foot of the cross. In the death of Jesus, we have life. Do you believe this, that death can produce life? Do you believe this, that death can produce life? Well, Nicodemus, he believed. Nicodemus believed, though it took some time. As it takes 9 months for a baby to be born, and those 9 months can seem to take forever, so it took some time for Nicodemus to believe. He stood up in John chapter 7 when Jesus was being accused by the Pharisees and they wanted to arrest him and kill him. And Nicodemus stood up and he said, shouldn't we give him a trial first? You can see the Spirit of God working in Nicodemus in John chapter 7. And then by the time we get to the end of the Gospel of John, which is in John chapter 19, if you'll turn over, John chapter 19 and verse 38, you'll see the utter transformation of Nicodemus. After these things, which is the death of Jesus on the cross, after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. So when all of the disciples fled, when they were afraid, when they ran away from Jesus at the cross, Nicodemus was right there. When before he met with him in secret, now he's there with the dead body of Jesus in broad daylight for everyone to see, asking Pilate for the body of Jesus, putting his own life at risk. Nicodemus stayed and believed and did not perish, but had eternal life. What does it look like to be born again? Look at the transformation of Nicodemus from meeting in secret to taking the body of Jesus down from the cross and burying him in a tomb for all the world to see. He believed and remembered Jesus' words here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God so loved the world. This world. This no good fallen world. He gave his only son, his perfect son, for evil, sinful, no good people like us. Nicodemus had come to Jesus in the darkness of night, but in doing so, he discovered the light, or rather, the light discovered him. Have you discovered the light? Has the light discovered you? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you believe these words? Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment: the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Have you come to the light? Have your deeds been exposed? Are you born again? There is only one entrance into the kingdom of God, and you must be born again. You must look at Jesus on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and for your life, your eternal life, which is the only life that there is. He gave his only son. This was not a secondary thought by God the Father. This was not God's plan B, where all other options had been thought of. And now the Father, as a last resort, sends his son? No. This was the only way, the only plan from all eternity past. This is the only way, and there is no other way to be saved, because there's only one Son. There's only one. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Savior, and there is no other. You must be born again. So look to him. Trust him. Believe in him. And you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have sent for our salvation, that you would give us faith to believe in him by the power of your Spirit. That your light would shine on our darkness. Even if we are born again, Lord, continue to shine the light of the darkness of our hearts. Expose our sin. Lord, help us to repent. Help us to trust you more. Help us to believe in Jesus even more and be made more like him. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.